The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Bear of Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, a rough one. We're calling this episode Orange is the New Black because the debut of the orange helmets was not so pretty. But how was it on the couch? How did it look to you on the couch?
You know, the orange helmets, when they first were announced, I didn't like them at all. And then when we were at camp and they had them there, and I'm like, man, that actually looks kind of sharp. But then, you know, now I see it again with the orange jersey. I'm like, you know, I just don't like orange as the primary color. It just, it does nothing for me. I'm not a big fan of the orange at all. I just think it's, and then with the way they performed, obviously, get that out of here. We don't need that. I think it's just bad luck. It's kind of like when they did the All Navy for the first time against, you know, years ago, they played the Packers in Navy jersey, Navy pants. And they got smoked. Let's retire that look. Let's retire this orange. I know it's coming up again, I think, one more game this year, but just give me some traditional stuff here.
So I am happy that they are experimenting and trying new things. I really don't like the Navy C on that helmet. I wish they would do something different than that. I don't think it looks very good. I like the fact that they tried something, so I'm giving them credit for the attempt. The orange jersey and orange helmet at the same time, I actually think is not the right approach. I think that the white jersey with the orange helmet might look pretty sharp, but I don't like orange and orange. It was a little bit too much for me. I wore an orange sweatshirt, an orange hoodie, and an orange hat to try to match them, you know, in solidarity.
There it is.
In the stadium. And trying to show my support for the orange. But honestly, with a debut that poor, I agree with you. It's they get it one more time, but if they come out and they play like that the next time in orange, they may have to consider it a one and done.
They better. Yeah. If it's, I'm not too, superstitious, but you know, sometimes, you know,
you're a little
tea leaves. Though. I'm a little stitious. Yeah.
All right. Well, I was at the stadium, took number one Bears fan, my mom, to the stadium. It was an enjoyable experience, except for the game and the fact that it was cold.
Was it that cold?
I was layered up and I was chilled throughout the game. I needed one more layer or a warmer layer somewhere because it was just not enough. I was kind of shivering a little bit, like minor, you know, like kind of like, ooh, man, it's just a little bit too much. Although I am weak. Like I, you know, I have realized that I have lost my hardiness for the cold weather. And this was kind of the first real cold. And we were out, you know, 5-6 hours in it. And so at some point it was a little bit too cold for me. Very windy going to the stadium. Died down a little bit, but still pretty windy and enough to kind of take it down another 7-8 degrees with the wind chill. But I'm not built for December football anymore, right? Like that's not my thing. I don't want to go to a game that's super cold. If I went to a Bears game in January, I would have to go into like the club level.
Yeah.
I'm just not hardy. I lost it all. I'm done with that. So
that's because this is the new svelte JB over here. You know, you just can't, like me, if I went, I'd be fine, you know, but still me, Yeah, I'm not trying to go in that weather. I'm not trying to sit in the cold weather. Give me a dome. I don't care about the cold. I have no interest in sitting out there for 3.5-4 hours freezing my butt off. I have no interest in it. You know, even when I played in high school, a little bit of college, and it was cold weather, whatever it was. Man, I had sleeves on. I'm not trying to look tough. I'm cold. Get out of here.
Those hits hurt a little more in the cold. Yeah. No, it's no fun. So, let's get into the categories. This is a tough one to break down. This is the first time I saw the game was just a couple hours ago, in prep for this show, in terms of the television view. So what you saw at home, I see very, where I was at, I was seeing something very different. You can see something really up close and some cool stuff and between play stuff. You get to see, a little differently, but it's really hard to watch the line, from where I was at. Yeah. If they're on the other side of the field, it's very difficult. But I went back and I'm like, oh man, this is a tough to find some contenders for categories, and others are very competitive. Category in particular is very competitive here. Yeah. So I'm curious to see where you're going to go tonight, but every episode we start off with the Portillo's Trench Tribute. Portillo's is partnering up with us this year, giving away a $100 gift card every week. We are not getting a ton of people putting in players of the week, and I know that some of that is just because you guys are frustrated, but that also means that your odds are incredibly high to good win odds. One of these $100 gift cards. If you just put in, just say, hey, I thought this player was my player of the week. It's not that hard. So respond to where you get your Baron balance. And if that's on the podcast, send us an email at 2ndcitygridiron@gmail.com. That'll get you in. We will check that. We will add you in. Respond to the Twitter post and say, this is my Portillo's player of the week. Respond to us on the website. That'll get you in too. Like
Facebook as well. We're on Facebook. Yeah. The YouTube. Wherever the video is streaming, put your thing in there. YouTube. I know the winner from last week's fired up. He's from Chicago. He no longer lives here, but man, he's fired up. I talked to him by email. We went back and forth a little bit. He's pretty excited to get this Portillo's gift card. And of course, the guy from last week, he tweeted out his Portillo's spread for game day. So that was awesome to see. Awesome. And man, it's, it makes me want to go back to Portillo's now because, now I have a taste for their beef again.
I did go because I don't have one in town.
That's right.
So because we were traveling and wanted to take mom there because I thought she'd enjoy it. She loved it. Loved the atmosphere. It's a great little restaurant if you're able to go to the actual physical locations. It's a really fun time. And really enjoy the food. So we got a chance to go there. So for me, Trench Tribute of the Week, I could not find anybody on the offensive line, nor did I want to after that performance. I'm looking on the defensive line. The guy that I had in mind watching it live was Armon Watts because he had a lot of tackles and he's getting more snaps and he's, a new player. They signed off of the Vikings cuts and claimed off of the Vikings cuts. And so I was pretty impressed with that performance in the stadium. Watched him pretty close during the recap, and I was like, pretty inconsistent,
right?
Yeah, had a lot of stuff to work on, but he's he's ascending in this roster. He's a young, talented player. The Vikings cut him, from what I understand, because he really wasn't a scheme fit. They were hoping to bring him back on the practice squad. They like the player, so this is a guy that does have value in this scheme. They're clearly looking to increase his playing time because he's earning it and because they see value in him contributing long term. This was his first kind of bigger statistical game, but this is with a caveat that there's also some stuff he needs to work on. Far from dominant.
Same exact thing I thought when I was watching the game. Like, I'm going to take a look at Watts, look closely. This is his third now. He's started the last three games at the spot. It was Angel Blackson. The Bears at some point made a switch. He's started the last three games along with Justin Jones. I was close to going Watts, but like you said, the inconsistency kind of like there. I mean, it's a gap control. He's supposed to be shooting that gap, right? And Corey Wooten, former Bear defensive lineman, talked about it on Twitter, saying that in this defense, if you're not getting through that gap, you're not penetrating, it really hurts the defense. You can't over-penetrate. Because that makes it worse. You got to make sure you get in your gap, you control it, and you're there. And there were just plenty of times where, like you said, he is inconsistent. He gets blown off the ball. Some of his tackles are made, 5 yards down the field because he got pushed back. And he scraped and made a good play, which is nice. But And then I look at the offensive line, and, you know, offensive line was tough. You know, there were a couple guys that were not as bad as the rest. I'm going to go for the O-line here. And I'm going to go Tevin Jenkins for my trench tribute.
Oh, no, man. Oh, God. Okay. All right.
You didn't like that one?
I mean, I got a.
It's again, we're talking the caveats up and down. You know, I was trying to find a guy. His bad was bad.
I might be giving him something later, and it's not really good.
Okay.
I might be. I'm not happy with what I saw in parts.
I'm going to go back. I haven't caught the All 22 yet. I don't have time. I'm not even sure if it's out yet. But when I go through the All 22, I was going off a TV thing, and like I said, there were some moments where I kind of saw him, and I'm like, some of the pass pro issues are there. But overall, again, this is a tough week, man. The O-line was rough. The D-line to me was just too rough. I had no one I really could give it to. You know, I will talk about a just right bear later, but Jenkins this week.
All right. Tribute. All right. I'll say my piece in a little bit.
We'll go there. It's fine.
We're okay. You know what? I'll tell you what. I have multiple options for the cold bowl. So I'll talk about Tevin here. We talked about it. I think it might have been on Bears Over Beers, but he had a play last week where he gets beat and he throws the defensive tackle, Dalvin Tomlinson, at the feet of Fields.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He did that last week, and I saw it happen, and I was like, oh my God. Like, that, do not get into that habit. That is not a thing that you do. You got away with that. And he was deep enough in the pocket. He was able to avoid it. I thought it might have happened again, and it was very hard to tell in real time. I didn't get a replay. When I went back and watched it, he kind of did it again. He wasn't clear. It wasn't as much of a chuck like he did with Tomlinson, but he's a little bit out of position against Jonathan Allen. It was just late in the game. Jonathan Allen's rushing against Mustafa, the guy that's head up on Tevin. Starts off and then does a loop. He's playing a game, and so he tries to recover to help out Mustafa on Allen. But as he does that, his momentum takes Allen to the ground, and he pushes Allen from behind into Justin Fields' lower body. That's why it wasn't called. People around me like, hey, that's a flag, and I was like, I had such a bet. I go, I'll bet you $20 that Tevin threw him at his feet. And when it came up and it happened, I was like, there it is. There it is. You cannot do that. Because here's the thing. He was this close to ending Justin's year. That's how close that was. You throw a giant defensive tackle at the knees of your quarterback. He's avoiding the rush from deep. He's stepping up into the pocket. So he's stepping up. And giant Jonathan Allen is coming at him and can't control himself and is falling down towards his knees. Justin, being a freak athlete, able to little sidestep, he still gets sacked, but he is able to sidestep and save himself. And then he's down on the ground for a long period of time. So honestly, I was going to just tear Tevin on that point, because I talked about it last week. Or I talked about it Wednesday. Like, I don't even have.
Yeah, it was just a couple days ago.
Right, it was just a couple days ago. And here he is doing basically the same thing with the same result, but this time it's even worse because Justin happens to be stepping up. And this, I think, is a reflection of his poor form and him somehow thinking that this is a good idea to try to get him down to the ground. It is a bad idea. If you are beat at that point, you got to just let it be beat, because let Justin make that athletic move to get away from Allen at that point, or let him get hit square and not awkwardly on the lower body. So honestly, I was going to kill him.
part of it is tackle guard, right?
Yeah.
If you're at tackle and you're getting a little bit like that, you can use the defender's momentum and just whip him past the pocket, because that's what you feel. Inside a guard, it's a little different. Then that's a good point. This is where him not getting the reps in camp, these were him splitting reps in game. You know, these are things that he should have worked through. This, I mean, I'm sure the coach would talk to him about it. You know, he's still probably the only long-term, you know, guy that you're comfortable with at O-line. He just needs the reps. He needs to work. Hopefully he's there for the rest of the season. Hopefully he works through some of these little mistakes. Because, I mean, like I said, I gave it to him, but it's like, you know, there was some, the bad was really bad, you know, but it's like, it was a tough week, man. I'm like, where do you go when everyone's, both trenches are like,
I know. I believe me. You can say my pick got blown off the ball and destroyed.
Yeah,
and I agree with you. And so I get it. I was just particularly upset about that play because, in the moment, I'm looking at this going, oh my God, I just talked about this. I just talked about how this is a bad thing and about how this can come back to you. And here's Justin on the ground again. Like, it was like that scene from Wedding Crashers where they're playing pickup football and they're like, your brother's on the ground again. What is happening? Right. Like every time I turn around, Justin Fields is on the ground and he's very slow to get up. And this lineman are like bending down and like yanking him off the ground. Like he was not having it, but all right, let's move off of this because I feel like I could just keep going and like, we've entered relief valve here and I'm just kind of blowing steam. So let's go to the tweet of the week. I'll start us off here. Our friend Brad Spielberger, who's at PFF _Brad, Bears in goal to go tonight, 11 plays, 7 yards, 1 interception, 0 points. That is unbelievably disgusting. This game should not have actually been close, let alone a loss. This game should have been a rout. They should have been putting the pressure on Washington to play catch up, which means Carson Wentz would have had to throw the ball more. He was already throwing it in harm's way, just got away with it quite a bit. This is the story of the game. 11 plays in goal to go, only 7 yards, a turnover, no points.
0 for 3 in the red zone. I mean, of course, the last red zone was the last play of the game, but still 0 for 3 in the red zone. The Bears are moving the ball. I mean, they're moving the ball pretty good. I mean, as much as the offense was Justin Fields this week, he didn't get a lot of help from his line, from his receivers and stuff. They moved the ball 7 points. Come on. This is just horrendous. This is the game, like you said, the Bears could have won this game. It was there for them. 0 for 3 in the red zone. That's a horrible looking stat. Just get that off the screen for you guys on YouTube. I'm sorry you got to look at that. That's just
I wouldn't even be a stat. This is my tweet, terrible, but like, I'll take it off.
Mine's even worse here. for my tweet of the week is from ESPN Stats and Info. Justin Fields was pressured 18 times tonight, tied for the most in a game in his career. And we're talking a career that had that Browns game in it, which is. So Fields has now been pressured on 46% of his dropbacks this season, the highest rate of a pressure a QB has faced in the first 6 games of a season since ESPN began tracking pressures in 2009. I mean, what do you say to when you have no – look, Justin Fields is responsible for some of the pressure. I think it's been well documented. He is part of the pass protection. He has got to know – but this game – there has been other games where his pass pro has just been awful. There were just so many plays where you watch the play happen, and then here's a guy in his face now. Like, the 5 guys are not working in unison. Mustafer, Lucas Patrick. What does Lucas Patrick do for this team? I don't understand where he's coming from. Braxton Jones had a horrible game, you know? Just not a good game in pass pro. The pressures are there. Like you already talked about, he was hit so much. He was hurting after that game. I mean, he talked about his left shoulder. Was a bit sore. He said he dinged it up a while back and it kind of got hurt again. You got to keep your guy upright. I mean, it's like, I just don't understand what the whole team building aspect. I mean, I understood it in the moment when Ryan Poles was doing his thing, and I'll have more on Poles later. I'm not happy with what's going on with some of the stuff, but This is your plan here. This is what you have here. This is the weapons you figured you'd surround him with. It just, you cannot let your quarterback get pressured that much. He had sacked 5 times and then there were 12 quarterback hits. That's just unacceptable.
Yeah, I was starting to tally up the number of rushers that he just eluded as well. Oh. You know, and I think I about got to double digits. Like yes, he creates some of these pressures. I understand that. But he also is, and he's getting sacked at an incredible rate. Imagine if he was a statue. You know, imagine if he was a statue that couldn't move in the pocket, that did get rid of the ball to some degree, You know, he would still have more sacks than he has now, even I mean, just because he can get out of this so much, so many of these rushes, the numbers aren't, I mean, they're already catastrophically bad, but they'd be earth shattering if he wasn't able to do some of this stuff. So I don't know. I, you know, we are in that zone where how do you properly evaluate him, and how do you give him grief if he bails from a pocket early, when he's constantly under pressure and he's just, I mean, I don't want to say seeing ghosts, but that's kind of what you can almost see how that happens, right?
It's
what's going to happen next week when Bill Belichick figures out how to, he gets an extra day to game plan against Justin Fields. He's going to be bringing crazy pressure, simulated pressure. He's going to be doing all kinds of stuff to get into his head.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. I mean, the Bears just finished the easy part of their schedule. And they're, you know, not very good. So it's going to be rough these next few weeks.
There's only a couple games left where, I mean, I don't know that there's anybody worse than Washington on the schedule. I mean, Washington's a bad football team. They are a bad football. If you watched that game last night and thought, oh, Washington's okay, they are a bad football team. We knew that going in. And they didn't do anything to win that game except for just stand there and not turn the ball over. That's it. Like, they did not deserve to win that game. But the Bears certainly didn't deserve to win it. And sometimes, you know, two negatives, you just take the one that's least negative. So that's how I graded the game out.
It's funny because you look at the last Thursday's game. I mean, that was like all over the place. Like, oh my God, this is one of the worst games ever. It was just terrible. The Bears and Commanders, they had fewer points in that game last week. This is a worse game than that one. I mean, I may have been a little more entertaining. I don't know. I mean, as a Bears fan, I guess I was more entertained because I got to watch my favorite team, but it was just brutal. That was a rough one.
Yeah. Yes, it was. All right. Caught up in number game. Let's get into the stats. So my number this week is 65. 65 is what the Bears are on pace for number of sacks allowed this year.
That's terrible.
They've given up 23 already. If they keep that pace, which is a very high pace, that would be 7 more than the Bears gave up last year. The Bears led the league last year with 58 sacks allowed. So that would be an incredibly bad start to Justin Fields' career, assuming Justin Fields can survive many more starts and it's not Trevor Siemian taking these sacks. But, you know, we're in a position here where we're starting to talk about David Carr numbers. Yeah. And no one wants to talk about David Carr numbers. And this is the downside to the survive the gap year and come back next year with all this money and draft capital and build it around him. If you've broken him beyond repair, then you've defeated the purpose. And these high sack numbers are what can do that to a talented young quarterback.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Carr. That's the first thing I thought of when you mentioned those numbers. I think his rookie year was sacked like 72 times. It was just an unreal number of times. But through 2 years, I mean, Justin Fields is on pace to have those historically awful numbers. And you talked about seeing ghosts, and this is what happens. A young quarterback, you know, if he doesn't trust what he sees, he starts thinking something's happening. It's not happening. You know, we saw moments in the game last night where there were passes to make and he didn't trust it, whether it's he didn't trust his line in front of him, he doesn't trust the receiver to come open. I mean, look, we ripped Dante Pettis a week ago because who he is. We know he's a guy in like his third or fourth team. He's just a guy out there. He was one of the better weapons Justin Fields had yesterday. That's terrible. If Dante Pettis is one of your guys you're going to in clutch situations, what the hell are they doing here? That is roster building malpractice at this point. It's just it's rough.
Yep. I mean, we knew it, but until you see it and then see it in reality, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this was worst case scenario.
Yeah.
There it is. What about you? What do you got?
My number is the number 392. And we talked a little bit earlier in the show about how the Bears were in this game. They could have won this game. That's the total yards the Bears had, which is the most they've had in almost a year. The last time they had this many was against the Steelers last year in November when they had 414. 392 yards and just 7 points to show for it. It's just, again, unacceptable. And this, you know, Field and the offense, you know, but let's talk a little Luke Getsy here too. You know, it's, you know, some of those play calls down there in the red zone, is like he has shown, you know, he gets a little different. You know, I think you had a good point on Bears Over Beers. Just let Justin Fields do Justin Fields stuff. You know, you were talking about how he seemed to heat up as the game gets going on. And part of it is because he has more plays to make because he's been making plays throughout the game. Give him more chances. You know, who is this team? Like, what are they at this point? We don't know because they've been conservative. We thought they're going to finally open things up last week. They were a little more, they were taking some more chances with the coach. It seemed like they're going to open things up a little bit. And then here we are again, back in the red zone. Some of these runs, some of these, they weren't rolling them out on the passes. You know, it's the game's on the line and you're going a straight drop back. You know, give Justin Fields an option here. Don't just drop him straight back with the, you know, like, why are we being so conservative? Like, this is the play call. No, let him, he's an athlete. Let him do what he can do. You know, I'm not saying that he should be out of the pocket all the time, but I think in some situations, when, you know, the game is on the line, do something with him. Put him on the move. Give him an option.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about the big yardage numbers and not getting the points, and kind of talk about those goal-to-go situations a little bit more to kind of expand on the, you know, the Brad Spielberger tweet too. Like, this is – get into the Getsy play calling a little bit here. The first goal-to-go situations, that interception – I don't know. Like, I'll look at it on the All 22 when it comes out, but like, okay, he hits him in the helmet and then it's picked off. I mean, no idea. That's on field though. I mean, yeah. He's not throwing it in the lane. You know, I tend to like aggressive play calling in that you know, low red zone area. So I don't know. It seemed like a good idea, but clearly not a good pass decision there. Okay, fine. That second series where they're down there because of Herbert, that in that big Herbert run, that was way too much of, man, we got to let Herbert pay this off. We got to let him cash it in. Because why is Herbert in the game when you have Dave Montgomery, who's clearly more of the battering ram and, you know, nose for the end zone kind of guy? And so why did, you know, you gave him that first and goal carry because, hey, you got to let him have a chance. And then you give him a fourth and goal carry from the one with a heavy tight package. Unless he's jumping, unless he's going over the top, that is the dumbest decision. Like, unless David Montgomery's in the locker room because getting medical attention, there's no reason why David Montgomery shouldn't be running that run, or Khalil Herbert is running something with space. But yep, that is play calling malpractice. If you are going to run Khalil Herbert on a power run in tight formation, I don't like it anyway. Like, that's not my kind of play calling. But if you're going to do it, put the right personnel on the field.
Plus, he mentioned he had a long run, and I saw that was a next gen stat. He ran something like 90 some yards on that play because he went this way, he went that way, he cut back across the field. I mean, I'm sure he's in great shape, but I'm sure he's a little gassed. So I was surprised he was even in there at that point anyway. You know what? You have David Montgomery.
Yep.
Who should be fresh.
Yep.
You know? Yes, I get this is Herbert's drive, and they kind of rotate the backs on a drive-by-drive basis. But you're at the goal line, you know? Montgomery's a better pass blocker, so if you are going to pass, I'd rather have him be in the game anyway. And like you said, he's a more physical runner at that point in the game, especially if you're going to go up the middle, you know, something tight. If you're going to do something on the edge – and you feel Herbert's your best option, fine. Do a pitch to him, quick pitch, something like that. But David Montgomery should have been in the game at that point. And I'm with you. I don't like the condensed tight package. I don't like bringing everybody in, you know, especially with Herbert, you know, bring him out, you know, spread things out. You're just bringing in all the defenders to you. And I know the offensive line has been a better run blocking unit this season. I still don't trust them to get you a yard.
I don't trust them against Washington's front, for sure.
No, that's a hell of a front.
Right?
Yeah,
that's a really good defensive line, and your offensive line is not that good. So that's not understanding the context either. Yes, I was over 100 yards away, And I was losing my mind at what was happening. Because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And everybody's around me is like, nothing's happened yet. And I'm losing my mind because of the personnel on the field. Yeah. So like that was absolutely happening. And people around me, I think thought I was a little crazy. And then it didn't work. And you could see it coming a mile away. Like, this is a train wreck. This is a bad idea. And it didn't work out. Very frustrating to me. The last sequence, I don't know. Like, clearly they missed the defensive pass interference on third down. Yeah. That guy mugged him.
Yeah.
Mugged him. Should have been first and goal from the one. New set of downs. You know, Bears probably win that game. And the fade to Mooney, I don't love it. I don't love it at all. Mooney high points it. He has it. But it's there. It hits him in the hands. He high points it. He's got to catch it. If you're going to be a number one, you're going to be a number two in this league. You got to catch that ball. He did everything right except for actually bring the ball down. He holds on to it. The game's over. I mean, the Bears are in the lead with less than a minute left. So, you know, I'm kind of, I don't like a lot of what I saw in the low red zone there. There's a lot to not like.
I think it's fair. I mean, we're five games in now to Luke Getsy. There were a couple weird games early with the game script, but now we're starting to see some tendencies. We're starting to see him kind of who he is. And, you know, he's starting to get some national criticism now. You know, some people out there are saying stuff about him. They're not quite sure. And, you know, we talked about it last week. He's still a young coach. He's still trying to find his way as a play caller. You know, hopefully he gets better. Hopefully he finds his footing at some point. But so far, man, it makes you wonder if they got the right guy calling plays.
He's off to a rough start, that's for sure. Six games in, it's the report is not great. But the Fields report, we'll go through it real quick. We've talked a lot about Fields already. But 14 of 27, 190 yards, one touchdown, one interception. That was that carom off the helmet down in the 5-yard line, first goal, or you know, goal to go situation. Took 5 sacks, losing 36 yards there. Did run the ball 12 times for 88 yards, including that incredible highlight towards the end, which, dang, if he could have just gotten a move on Wild Goose,
awesome name,
a name of a human person in this game, and scored the touchdown there, we would have taken away a lot of pain here. But, you know, incredible run, is able to get down all the way down to the 5-yard line. And this is after he looked, I thought they were calling plays for a little while because they're like, well, he can't move, so we're just going to like give him a break, you know, but, and I was like, oh, they're actually going to throw the ball. Oh, he's running. Oh my God. Like, he's incredible. Right. So this performance from Fields, once again, I mean, hovering around 50% passes completed, not good enough. Like, I mean, that it's bad. And then you kind of watch, you go back and watch. Yeah. Some of those are on him. Absolutely. Some just bad throws or tight coverage that, you know, whatever. And then he got more drops. He got more just bad plays by your receiving core. No one getting open. It's tough, man. These stats are brutal, but so much of it is context.
Yeah. I mean, the stats are historically bad. I mean, his start to his, you know, year here, I think this is what, his 15th, 16th start still. We're still talking about a young quarterback. It's always the same. You know, development is not linear. You know, but the trends are starting to show up. There's some issues happening here. We have to see how he can fight through this stuff. And, you know, at his press conference after the game, he was frustrated. You know, the stuff he had to say, it's good to hear. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you want to hear your quarterback say. You know, he took the blame on that missed, you know, pass to Ryan Griffin in the end zone. You know, now we got a bunch of NFL guys coming out today saying that was a little bit on Griffin too, because the way he ran the route seemed like he was looking back for it a little too soon. You know, I'm sure the timing of that in practice was a little different, but Justin Fields said that's his play. He's got to make that play. And there are a few of those, but man, it's just like, we see so much. We see so many flashes. We see so much. Oh my God, that is a play only a guy like Justin Fields can make. Then of course we haven't talked about the great throw he had to Pettis. You know, just a nice deep touch. You know, right there for him. Hell of a catch by Pettis. We take shots at, but you know, the flashes are there. You know, who is Justin Fields? How do you evaluate him with this talent around him? Which is like, it's a whole other level. It's like, what are they doing? It's just very. As a fan, it's a frustrating product to watch because you want to believe in the vision.
Right.
But But it's hard. It's tough. It's like, what is the vision when, like you said, what if Justin Fields is broken by the time they have all this cap space and all their draft picks? What if Justin Fields can't come back from that?
Well, quick note on the Pettis play. That was directly in front of us. That was the corner that we were in. And so,
and you had no video? I figured you'd have some video of that one.
So I'm no Greg Braggs.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I wanted to enjoy the game. I think there's a little bit of like living in the moment. I did try to take a few pictures, you know, just for myself, document, you know, like where we're at, and took a couple pictures during, you know, basically during the snap and stuff like that. I had my phone out. There was this weird moment of activity to my left. There was someone who was coming back with some snacks, and they, you know, had stepped into the front row and then up on the seat to get to their seat in the second row. And they caught my eye. And so I look over to this person, and as he's stepping up, he gets hit in the side of the head with a beach ball. I'm not making this up. This is something that happened. And this person kind of lost his mind when this happened and started yelling at people. And I was like, what, you know, what is happening? I turn back and I see Dante Pettis and the defender like running like right in front of me. And then, you know, so I'm catching this kind of halfway through. I see the ball coming and I see him catch, and I'm like, oh my, it was just this like crazy 2 seconds of my life trying to make sure I'm not going to like, you know, get somebody getting in a fight behind me. And then this amazing play that was right in front of me, but I can see it in my mind still, this catch, fantastic, fun catch. So I did not get any photographic. I'm actually really proud of myself for not throwing my phone onto the field. Because I had it in my hand and I like threw my hands up, yeah. And I was like, oh man, I, you know, absolutely could have just thrown my phone on the field at that point. I was so excited.
Well,
but
well, that's interesting, cool. that you mentioned that you nearly missed the play, because people watching the game on Amazon Prime, they nearly missed the play as well. The it was just horrible. There were a few times where Amazon Prime was like missing the start of a play, or they wouldn't go back and do the replay. It was like, what are we doing here? So like, that play, there is no good shot of it. So when the All 22 comes out, I want to see exactly what happened, you know, how Justin Fields was hit. Because after that pass, he was on the floor for a while, like on the turf.
Yeah.
He ended up doing some push-ups, so it's like, good, he's up there. But again, Justin Fields stood in there, I'm assuming, and got hit because there was no clear replay, you know.
Well, I wasn't watching him, and yeah. So I'm celebrating, and then someone like taps me on the shoulder and like points to Fields. And it points to midfield, and I look and I'm like,
uh-oh.
Oh, what is, you know, well, first of all, I go, is there a flag? Like, cause you know, that's what you immediately, when someone's like, hey, settle down.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, no, like he's down. And I was like, God, I mean, it was all game. I mean, I'm not saying that to him. I'm saying it to the line. Like, yeah. He's just constantly just getting beat up. God, it was a tough one. It was a tough one. So, and what was happening with the line where they were constantly like coming in and out? Cause I was like, all right, Jenkins is limping to the locker room. And then he came out and he wasn't in the game. Right.
They said it was his shoulder. He had a shoulder issue.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to say he was limping. He was like shuffling.
Yeah.
Like he was very slowly, gingerly walking. So it wasn't like a limp, like a leg, but it was like, you can tell he's in pain.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and you see Schofield and Carter, where Carter was getting him warm. Jatir Carter was getting him warm, like taking some line reps where, you know, he's getting into it. And so that's why I tweeted out like, hey, I think Schofield's coming in. And then Jenkins came out and he was just standing on the sidelines when they went in, like, okay, yep, confirmed. This is happening. And then like a little while later, like Reef was in. Like ran into the game. I don't even know if he was in for a snap or not. And then he was back out. Like there were all these linemen were like running in and out. And yeah. Then like for some reason Jenkins went back in, and it almost didn't seem like there was a coach next to him saying like, "All right, you're back in." He just went back in the game. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening right now with the line.
Well, Patrick had to leave for a concussion thing. They wanted to evaluate him for concussion, so he came out for a few plays. I mean, he obviously was fine. He went back in. He passed whatever test he had to go through there. But I guess there was, like I said, the Amazon was not a very good, you know, they weren't very good. Not a lot of good information there. But from what I gathered, at, you know, after the fact, going through some stuff on Twitter, you know, it seemed like a shoulder injury. They kind of wanted to keep Jenkins out if they could. They couldn't because Patrick got injured. They're not going to put in Carter as a rookie at this point. So Jenkins went back in. I don't know. Lucas Patrick had a rough game. So, you know, maybe he should have stayed in the blue tent for a while because something was going on with him.
All right. Well, let's leave it here. And we're going to get on the other side of this thing and we're going to talk about the Three Bears.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, Lester, we're back. So let's talk about the Three Bears, hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. So I go first. I think that we could go a couple of different places. I think that I'm just going to give it to Dante Pettis for that amazing highlight play. It was right in front of me. I will probably remember that for as long as I have a memory because it was right in front of me. It was very cool. He did make a great play. He made a couple of actually really good plays in front of that side of the field throughout the game, four catches, 84 yards, I believe is what his final line was. And so we called him out last week. You know, he's been rough. He did make some plays here. Definitely above our expectations. Our expectations for him are not that very high, but he certainly exceeded those, provided the lone scoring highlight for us to witness in person. And it was a cool moment. And so I'm personally going to give that to Dante Pettis.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same spirit of you for the hot bowl. It's because of the nice long Khalil Herbert run. That's why I'm going to give it to Herbert this week. 7 carries, 75 yards, 10.7 average, of course, is helped along by that 64 yarder he had, but nice play. You know, he broke some tackles. That play was a nice play because we got to see Justin Fields hustling down, trying to get in and make a block. It just shows you the passion. You know, then you watch the replay, you know, Braxton Jones was hustling downfield trying to make a play. Tevin Jenkins was trying to get down there. You know, they were trying to get him in. And I think the team may have took that a little too far, like you said, because they tried to keep Herbert in and try and get him his 6 points there. But it was a rough one. Just like last week, I had to go with Mooney for the one catch. There's no, like, above and beyond player happening right now. So it's a tough one for the hot this week again.
So you're giving the hot bowl of porridge to Orange Juice for the week?
Orange, yeah.
Juice Herbert wearing the orange jerseys? Man.
Have you been holding on to that one this whole
I have it written down in my notes. I had to burn it at some point. There it was.
Nice.
That's all I got. That's all I got. Okay. Man.
All right. For the cold, what do you got for the cold this week?
I had a couple written down, but we've already thrown some shade at I did on Tevin, and we've already done a little bit on Luke Getsy, but I will call out Velus Jones. You're still winning the game. Like you make a mistake like that. And unfortunately that was right in front of us. I will remember that for a long time as well. You gifted them the lead and the win. That was unbelievable that would happen again to him. And I think he lost his footing and it hit off his face mask. I mean, it was just this like disgusting play. So it's bad. Just let it bounce. You know, at that point, but I this is what you're drafted for.
Yep.
This is what you're drafted for. Anything you give on offense is the cherry on top, is the, you know, is bonus. It's gravy, right? You were brought in for sure as a rookie to handle the return duties. That's what you're there for. And so if nothing else, secure the ball. You got to, I mean, I can't even, it's so obvious, you know, it's such an obvious one to do here. But here's a question for you. And I don't know the answer. I didn't get time to like try to search the rule book. Maybe I'll hit up Jack if you don't know. The gunner that ended up recovering that fumble, he stepped out of bounds. So if you watch the play, the side judge that comes in to try to pull people off the scrum, and he ends up pointing to Washington having the football. He doesn't have his hat on. So it's right in front of me, and I see him throw his hat on the ground, which means that the player stepped out of bounds. That's what that means when that guy does that on a punt. Okay. I thought that guy couldn't be the first person to touch the ball. Okay. So is he not the first person to touch the ball because Velus muffed it, or is he so he recovers the fumble. So to me, it was like, well, he's the first defender to touch the ball. Can he not do that? Or is it because it was a muff that doesn't matter anymore and he's reestablished himself? I don't know. I was waiting for a flag. I was, you know, grasping at straws, and it was desperate.
Was the player forced out? Because I know there's a difference if he steps out of bounds on his own accord.
I don't know. I couldn't see that, but I just know the hat went out. That is the rule.
Maybe because Jones muffed it, so technically he did touch it obviously first. So that's
Jones touched it first, and then this guy touches it second, and so maybe it's where that guy can't down it. Like that guy can't be the guy that downs it. Anyway,
the play sucked.
That play sucked, and Velus makes me very angry that he's not doing the one job that he was supposed to do when he came in.
Yeah, that's rough. For my cold this week, again, a lot of options, and this is probably a bit too early for this because it's a long season still. But Ryan Poles' roster construction. During the offseason, I'm like, okay, I get his plan. I see where he's going here. I understand what he's trying to do. He's handcuffed with, you know, 60-some million in dead cap. But there was money there. He could have done something. He could have went after a little better player. Let's not forget, Dakota Dozier was in line to be your starting right guard on this team. Dakota Dozier could not even make the Vikings 53-man roster a season ago. When they signed Dozier, I'm thinking, okay, this is a signing because he knows the scheme. He's a veteran. He's been around for a long time. He's the guy that will come in and kind of, you know, help be a coach in the field, kind of help, you know, get these young guys knowing the scheme they're trying to run here. I never expected him to be a starter, but then here we are all through the offseason, all through camp, he's your starter, right guard. Ridiculous. This is the move. They didn't bother with Michael Schofield or Riley Reiff until training camp. So they went through the entire summer, okay? I'm like, fine, you're finally bringing in veterans. That's good here. The whole Tevin Jenkins drama situation, you know, maybe in hindsight, you should have left him at right tackle. You know, I had no problem. He was a tackle. They want him at guard. That's fine. But there's obviously something going on here with your entire team. There's something here. So, you know, you get four draft picks on day three. That's your plan. He was adamant that he was going to fix the O-line. That was his thing. He's an ex-O-lineman. Ian Cunningham, assistant GM, XO lineman. And this is the offensive line that he gives Justin Fields. And I'm not even going to talk about the replacement level receivers that he brought on the team. I mean, Byron Pringle, he's a guy. He's okay. But that's your big signing? Like I said, it's probably too early. You can't, I mean, his journey in the NFL is not over.
Right.
But you know, this was what he thought was the best way to do it. How do you evaluate Justin Fields when he's got a bunch of guys like this around him that can't get open, that can't block? You're going to get your quarterback killed. And now, yeah, it's not your guy, but that he's your guy because that's who you have on your team. You're not going to turn to Trevor Siemian. What the hell are we doing here? So cold bowl. I got to put it on Ryan Poles this week.
Well, I like that a lot. And one guy you didn't mention is Lucas Patrick. And
Oh, the Lucas Patrick. I'm trying to already get him out of my head.
No, but here's the thing is when it happened, you know, when these guys sign, you know, and you don't know much about them, you know, I try to watch them. I try to go, you know, talk to some people that have watched them directly that cover the team. You know, I did five questions with for, you know, a few years. So I've got some contacts from, you know, that like me that cover different teams, and the Packers guy that I like to talk to, he's Matt, on Twitter, yeah. You know, call me Matub. Right. I reached out to him and like, Lucas Patrick, what is he? And he's like, good interior backup offensive lineman. You're in trouble if he's starting for you.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And I said, center or guard. And he's like, don't put him at guard. And I was like, okay. Right. And so this whole time I'm like, I don't like this. Let's get him out of guard. Let's see if he's a center. That's what you brought him in for. You know, that's fine. I still couldn't believe that was their plan at center, because I still thought there was going to be somebody else and he was going to just be the top backup. And then that ended up being their top signee. To, you know, this is going to be the anchor, you know, it's like, oh, all right. You know, I don't see it, but these guys are the experts. So let's see what happens. Still want to see what he looks like at center.
Yeah.
You know, but guard ain't it.
Oh, guard we've talked it. A lot about centers, Sam Mustipher, and, you know, he has improved over a season ago, but as we always say, that's a very low bar. You know, he may have stepped up a little bit, and I understand that the Pro Football Focus grades came out and he graded out pretty well for this game. I did not spend a lot of time watching him particularly on this game because Patrick was just so bad. You know, he had so many mistakes there when he was in. But is he really your best option? Is this really the best five they have right now? You really can't get Riley Reiff in there somewhere, somehow. I'm not sure if he's working at guard at all. Right now, I'm not sure if that's the plan. Alex Leatherwood.
Gotta be Leatherwood. Awful. Gotta get Leatherwood in there.
He was terrible last year with the Raiders.
Yep, I know.
But on this line, he may be one of your best five.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about how could Ryan Poles think this is the way to go? I don't know.
All right, just right bull for me. I'm going with the guillotine. Guillotine had a good week. You know, good punts. You know, he continues to be solid and just – having a nice rookie year, and just a little special treat that he was right in front of me, and he may have heard his nickname yelled at him because I yelled it, and the guy next to me yelled it multiple times. And so I have to believe that he has now heard his nickname, and I hope that he likes it and that we eventually get it going enough to where he sees it in you know, where he starts seeing it regularly and we get into it. Make those t-shirts finally. I need a designer. If anybody's listening that actually designs this stuff, I've got ideas, but I'm not good enough to put it on a t-shirt. Let's get a t-shirt out there. Maybe we can get one to Trent Gill.
I had Gill written down as one of my guys. I was thinking about some stuff. I thought about Patrick Scales, you know, just because it was just a rough game. But I did go through and I'm going back to the O-line here because the spirit of the Jess Wright is a guy that plays about how I expect him to play. And again, we're talking about a guy, Larry Borum, right tackle. I graded him out. He was probably the best as far as consistent on the line. I had him down for 70 plays. Again, the TV copy was, I think I might have missed a couple in there. Negative 12, which you're thinking, oh, that's terrible. But out of 70 plays, that's a low B, 82.9%. So if you're grading him on a school scale, you're like, Larry Borum gets a B minus. For the day. I talked a little bit about Jenkins, kind of the same way with Borum. Some of his bad was really bad. But, you know, he's I still want to see him as your swing. I think he's better there. I think that's probably where he is. But we're still talking about a second-year player. He's still growing. He's learning. Braxton Jones on the left side was terrible. He had a really bad game, you know, and this is a week after I thought he was okay last week. Again, his bads, this is pretty much going to be said about the entire five. Their bad is really, really bad. And like when I grade, I don't grade on a you know, percentage point. I don't say, oh, that's a triple negative.
No style point.
No style point. So like, you know, there were a few plays last week with Braxton Jones where it seemed like he was going the wrong way, you know, but overall, he's okay. Borum, again, some of his bad is bad. He was pretty good in pass protection. I don't think I had him down for any pressures at all. He had a few times where he got kind of bowled back a little bit, but for the most part, he stayed in front of his man. That's what you want your guy to do. And then there were some run plays where he just was like missing. The thing with some of those outside zone plays is the offensive linemen get on a track. They step a certain direction, and they're supposed to block who's in front of him. Sometimes there's no one in front of him. So it looks like, what is Larry Borum doing? That's what it looks like when you're watching it. But you're like, well, who's he supposed to do? You know, he's on your track. You're going this direction. There is no double team to make, so you're not helping and peeling off. And at his, you know, 6'5", you know, 320, whatever he is, he's not going to outrun the DB coming across field to get in his way. So all you can do is just run towards the play and hope something happens. And then, like, for example, the Khalil Herbert run, they all ran that direction. It helped because now when Herbert comes back, he's able to cut off some of those blocks. It happens. Larry Borum, he's okay. He was fine this week.
He's not your biggest problem.
He's not your biggest problem in the line. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. That's fair. They were Jenkins and Borum were two of the last players off the field. We stuck around. You know, we kind of were trying to yell it. I mean, they're all angry. You know, we were kind of like, hey, you know, we believe in you. You know, that kind of stuff. Trying to be. Now, everybody else filed out. Believe me, there was very few people left. And Patrick Scales actually came over and took a picture with you know, a young man who kind of yelled, "Hey, Pat, can we get a picture?" And he came over and was very, very, you know, gracious and did that.
Those long snappers, man.
Chicago loves them for a reason. Yeah. So yeah, the kid was very excited about it, and you know, just talking about how great Patrick Scales was, like over and over, like it kept happening, like how great he was and how excited he was for that. And that's awesome. Yeah. You know, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, if they would have pulled out the win, you would have expected a little bit more of that, a little bit more of the players, you know, given positive reaction. But I think, you know, my closing thought for the game, you know, in being there is that I actually didn't really witness good energy from the team. And I'm not going to get into body language takes or anything like that. That's not what I'm going with. But I didn't see a team that was like really excited to be out there and like feeding and like, you know, get rally. We're going to be okay. The only time I saw anybody like encourage the crowd was when they started chanting BS to a missed call. And one of the players turned around and like put his arms up like, yeah, get that going. And then the rest of the bench was like, no, like, hey, shut up. We need to hear the play, which I thought was pretty funny. But I just didn't see a lot of like bouncing around or anything like pregame, you know, I mean, you know, taking it's business and all that. I understand. But you did not see a team that was loose. And they played like it. They played poorly overall against a bad football team. And again, I hate Thursday football for a lot of reasons, because it's usually a lot of times it's pretty sloppy, limited game plans, all that kind of stuff. But I just didn't see a team that was in stride. And I was kind of hoping that they were going to take that momentum from Minnesota and really work that in. So a little bit, you know, disappointing. This is one of the last games that I think was a truly winnable game where they deserve to be favored for the season. The rest of the season, there's going to be a lot of tough games. I mean, there's some teams on this schedule that's not going to be fun to do bare and balanced, even a day later.
Well, I mean, this was not as balanced as we usually are, because it was just so much bad. I mean, it's just a lot of bad stuff. I mean, we knew it though, but we knew going into this season, it's a bad football team. You know, right. I think we both had them like, you know, around 6 wins is our prediction. You know, and but we kept trying, hey, let's see how Justin Fields does. And, you know, it's, if we're not even seeing that, we're not learning anything about our favorite team. It's just really tough. And it's interesting you mentioned the energy, because they practiced in full on Wednesday.
Mm.
And I know that they usually, you know, you just walk through, you know, those days, you know, leading up. And, but, you know, I'm sure it wasn't a full practice, but it was more fuller than what teams usually do. And I was listening to sports radio. I forget which one it was in Chicago, but they were talking about how that's a built-in excuse. Now, if something happens, they come out flat, they can always throw back and say, well, you know, why do you guys practice on Wednesday when you had a game on Thursday? So, you know, this is just, you know, it makes you wonder, you know. And then of course, as the game's going on, nothing's going their way. I mean, they're shooting themselves in the foot constantly. You know, you can kind of understand how they would get dejected here, and you know, you don't want to see that happen. But you know, short week, Thursday night. Oh, I don't like Thursday night football myself. I'm just not a fan. I think these guys, I think if you're going to do Thursday night football, then you have to have an 18-week schedule. You have to give these guys two byes. I've been preaching this for as long as I've been writing about the Bears. I've been preaching the same thing. 18 weeks, two byes, that gives the TV stations one more week of ad sales. You know, yeah, you're extending the season a little bit, but you know what? These stupid-ass preseason games, get them out of there anyway. I'd much rather have a preseason game be a nice event at Soldier Field, have a nice scrimmage there. You get just as much work out of that as you do in actually going through and running through the motions with your first-team offense for six plays. You don't get anything out of that. So do a game, simulate a game at the stadium, two preseason games, 18-game season, two byes. Let's go.
Yep, been talking about it for a long time. Early season bye, late season bye.
Yeah,
one of those. Like, you have to have a bye week if you're going to play Thursday, like the next Thursday. So, it's a full 10 days rest until the Thursday game, and then you get another 10 days rest, or however that, you know, that works out. And then the second bye, or you know, the first bye, depending on where it lands on your schedule, is the traditional bye where you're off for 2 weeks, and you can make it work. As somebody's going to have a week two bye. That's whatever, right? And then you start those Thursday games in week three. But who cares? Like, who cares that it's better? If you care about player safety at all, like you say you do, that is the thing to do. And we would get rid of a lot of this bad product, honestly. It's bad product. That's the biggest win for the NFL, is no one's going to complain about these Thursday games being crappy, because they're going to be fully game planned and fully rested. So, you know, you want to make it a big deal. You can put marquee matchups on Thursday nights because they're both going to be ready to go.
Yep.
And that absolutely, if I can change one thing in the NFL, that's what I would change. Honestly, that's what I changed. Cause I like Thursday football. I like watching it on my calendar. It's another night. It's one game. I just focus on one game. It's a night that I get to watch football. I like that. I don't watch college football, so I'm cool with this other night, but it's bad product.
Yeah. I mentioned 18 weeks. Player. I mentioned 18. I mean, it's already 17 game season. My mentality.
Yeah, yeah,
I never liked the 17 game season myself. No, I always thought it should have stayed a 16 game season, 18 weeks, two byes. But you know, it's money. I mean, we're all going to watch Thursday night games. You know, even if it is a 12-9 stink fest or a 12-7 stink fest, we're all tuning in. The ratings are great. You know, the product sucks, but it's professional football. NFL is king, and they're not going to change because they know we're going to be there anyway.
Good pizza, bad pizza. Who cares? It's pizza,
pizza,
right?
Pizza.
Like, it's the same
thing
in NFL football. All right. Well, schedule's a little weird, you know, with this Thursday going into Monday game. We'll be back next Tuesday to talk about Bears Patriots on this podcast. There'll be other podcasts that will be going up, of course. Some talking about this game or elements of it, others talking about, you know, bigger picture stuff. And then we'll get into preview stuff for the Patriots as well. Other than that, you know, hit like, subscribe, join us where you're at, follow us on Twitter, follow whatever. Like, you know, that stuff helps. That's nice. Get your Portillo's Player of the Week in on those outlets. I'm telling you, your odds are really good the last couple of weeks if you got in. Don't let that happen again. Put your name in. Put your name in, guys. Like, you know, let's get you some beef. Let's get you some Chicago dogs. So anything from you?
Nah, just like you said, it's a little different schedule, so it's kind of weird. But, you know, the stats and staff counts went up, you know, today. You know, obviously Jacob's notes went up today. So, like, you know, we'll have no game to recap on Monday. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. I know we got a couple the trade deadline's coming up. So I know we're going to have something on the trade deadline, which, you know, I don't expect Ryan Poles to be too heavy in, but I hope he's listening. I hope he's got some feelers out there and looking for some guys that he can kind of, you know, bring in at a low cost, you know, something that there may be a swap of picks. Sometimes someone's just looking to get, you know, get out of the contract. And, you know, the Bears, they still have some money this year. I think they're top 10 in cap space for this season. So there's some moves to be made if they want to make some moves. Just do something, because the product we're watching is not fun.
Just poke them with a stick. Do something. Yeah. All right, guys. Appreciate you joining us for this one. I know it wasn't as balanced as some of the others, but that's what happens when they play like this. So thanks for joining us. And until next time, bear down.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.